Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's been another very busy weekend stateside as America adapts to the Supreme Court decision on Friday to overturn Roe versus Wade. So what does this actually mean? Well, Rebecca O'Neill, our American correspondent, is on the line. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
So what does this mean?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, like you said there, Jen, really just trying to get used to this most consequential Supreme Court decision in decades. So 20 states going forward are likely to ban or severely restrict abortion in the coming weeks. It really changes the status of American women as citizens of the United States and as citizens of their states. That's kind of the big picture. But I mean, let's not mince words here, Jen. Women are going to die because of this ruling. And from now on, doctors in many states will have to ask themselves, in pregnancies where there are serious conditions that threaten the mother's life, will the local prosecutor, will the local jury think my patient's in enough danger for me to perform what I would otherwise consider a medical necessary abortion? In 11 states already, including big ones, Texas and Florida, state governments can seize control of the bodies of women who've been raped or who are the victims of incest and compel them to carry the baby, their child, of their rapist to term. So a very different world for women in America. You know, it's going to end safe abortion, risking devastating consequences, like, you know, we said, including patient lives. So obviously doctors, medical groups have been coming out protesting this. And of course, it's going to disproportionately affect women of colour, poor women, we're already in jeopardy in terms of the healthcare system.
I have a clip here of Governor Chrissy Noem defending her state of South Dakota, which is now just one of the places where, even in cases of rape or incest, you mentioned there, abortion won't be an option. Here's what she had to say. Have a listen to this.
I believe every life is precious. Our trigger law does reflect that if it's to save the life of a mother, that an abortion is still illegal. And we know so much more using technology and science than we did even 10, 15 years ago about what these babies go through, the pain that they feel in the womb. And we'll continue to make sure that those lives are protected. And I just have never believed that having a tragedy or a tragic situation happen to someone is a reason to have another tragedy occurs.
So this has really divided the US even more. So what's been happening since the announcement on Friday?
Well, as you can imagine, there's been widespread protests here, Jen, right across the weekend in this country, and with both sides taking the streets, some turned violent. In a few instances on Friday, law enforcement broke up protests with force in Phoenix. Police had to use tear gas to disperse the abortion rights activist gathering at the state capitol. Things got a bit hairy there in LA and Los Angeles. Peace declared an unlawful assembly. Protesters were blocking traffic. There was clashes with police. Some even protests outside Justice Clarence Thomas's house in Virginia. He was one of the justices who voted to overturn Roe. And protesters were obviously flocking to demonstrate outside the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. In Iowa, a truck barreled through a crowd. In Rhode Island, this is mad, a police officer was accused of punching a woman, right, at an abortion protest while he was off duty. He was suspended from his job with pay while the Providence Police Department conduct a criminal investigation. So Jennifer Rourke, who's the Rhode Island Political Co-op chairwoman, she's a state Senate candidate. She told the local news she was punched in the face at least twice by Gene Lugo. And he was the officer who had been her challenger in the state Senate race. A more peaceful one, unusual, a dad climbed a bridge, the big bridge there in D.C., the Frederick Douglass Bridge, to call on people to do more than passively support it. There was a fire at a Christian pregnancy center in Colorado. It was being investigated as arson. So many incidences occurring right across the country.
I have a clip here of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Who is she and what is she saying in this clip? Just set it up before I played it.
Yeah, so Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she was formerly one of the press spokesperson for Trump. A lot of you will probably recognize her voice, and she's just been made governor. So this is what she was saying at the weekend on the topic at her rally.
Okay, let's have a listen.
We will make sure that when a kid is in the womb, they're as safe as they are in a classroom, the workplace, a nursing home, because every stage of life has value. No one greater than the other.
Safe in a classroom, huh?
Yeah, you see. So it's interesting,
so
I suppose,
bizarre.
To just it is bizarre to hear, you know, the other side and kind of, you know, what reality are you living in? I mean, obviously, there was massive derision online, but I mean, you know, she's just won. There's big support. There's big support for her. And I mean, like with the shootings, I mean, of all the news alerts, press release I got overnight, what stood out was a shooting in Atlanta yesterday. Even there was two women shot, one dead, one in surgery because of too much mayo on a sandwich, right? There were Subway workers, both young, both new to the job. You know, guns here as of now have more rights than women's healthcare. Yeah. Stories like this are happening all the time, just absolutely ridiculous and completely unnecessary.
Has Joe Biden come out and said anything? What's the White House saying to all this?
Yeah, so this wasn't a surprise. You know, Politico released the draft of this. You know, people had the heads up that this was going to be overturned from a few weeks ago. It didn't kind of make it any less any less major when it did break, you know. But so Biden was ready. He came out. He said the administration is going to protect access to the abortion pill. That's what a lot of the focus is on now, Jen, in terms of legalizing it and getting it in women's hands that need abortions. That the DOJ will certainly challenge any state that tries to restrict women from traveling to get the procedure. The Department of Justice, you know, but you have a lot of advocates right now, Jen, who are looking to the White House as the face of this movement going forward. Like, is there anything more you should be doing? Where is the urgency? You know, but I mean, to be fair to Biden, there's not really an executive order that he can sign that's going to help this. And really, you know, if this is thanks to Trump, one of the major successes of his presidency, while a lot of his actions were chaotic, to say the least, you know, he really understood the assignment when it came to how he could get abortion banned and have the far right and conservatives on his side for life. You know, his nominations of the three justices, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, you know, they've made him the only Republican president in six decades of a perfect record in appointing judicial conservatives. You know, his picks have transformed the court and brought America to where it is today.
There are now fears that more rights will be taken away, particularly same-sex marriages, access to contraception. Do you see this happening? I mean, could this actually happen?
Well, rather worryingly, Jen, yes. It could. A concurring opinion, right, that was released by Justice Clarence Thomas, that was released on Friday, and it sent off absolute shockwaves. He suggested that the Supreme Court could re-examine the landmark rulings that legalised same-sex marriage, same-sex intimacy and contraception. You know, so the liberals, the dissenting justice, they've expressed disbelief. At Justice Alito and Kavanaugh have come out and said, look, no, we're not going to touch anything. They're distinguishing the abortion from precedents about matters like contraception and same-sex intimacy and marriage. But, you know, the bottom line is that the reasoning about the 14th Amendment and 1868, which is how they came to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision, right? But that's actually the same details for the entire constellation of rulings, you know, when we're talking about that. So really quite worrying. And I mean, going on the recent ruling trends would suggest nothing is safe. Last week was such a big week for conservatives. Tuesday, they struck down a Maine law that prohibits religious private schools from receiving taxpayer dollars. On Thursday, right here in New York, there was absolute ructions that invalidated a New York State gun law, safety law limiting the public carry of firearms. So it's now legal to conceal a weapon, to carry a concealed weapon in New York. Like, there isn't enough issues here. And then on Friday, of course, overturning the Roe v. Wade. Yeah. And the outcome of these cases is not surprising. You know, it's ruled in favor of religious litigants in the overwhelming number of cases. So really, you know, rights groups are really getting worried that this is just, a big possibility here.
And against this backdrop, of course, the Pride celebrations, well, they had more urgency to them this year, didn't they? I mean, the community was already on edge before the events that unfolded. So what happened last night?
Yeah, big time, Jen. And there was this real, you know, I mean, Pride is always such a celebration and the parade here is just epic. You know, it's one of the biggest in the world. But it was really, you could feel the vibe in the air. You know, it was being celebrated with kind of a mixture of defiance and trepidation. You know, I mean, the marchers here, they've been marching for so long, you know, losing freedoms, won through decades, you know, the decades of advocates of activism. But basically, you know, come the evening, there was absolute chaos in Washington Square Park. There was stampeding, what sounded like gunshots, right? So it was actually fireworks were set off, and there was a complete stampede, and lots of people were injured. There's some terrifying stuff online, but again, just kind of show of the actual crowds just panicking. You know, one person tweeted, "I was there, it was horrible, I fell over, no buildings were open, we were out in the street scared after what happened in Oslo, I didn't want to risk it." You know, and the way mass shootings have affected NYC is just insane. But again, you'd ask, who had the bright idea of kind of putting off fireworks at a time when everybody is just so on edge? And the sad thing is, you know, expecting gunshots or expecting violence of this kind, you know?
Were people hurt in the stampede? Do we know?
Excuse me. No, nothing major, thankfully. Nothing majorly, but just a lot of scrapes. And I think as well, just people are traumatized.
Yeah.
You know, people are just, you know, people are just, they're feeling vulnerable and scared.
Finally, lastly, let's talk about the New York mayor.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani. So he's a former New York mayor. He's the infamous Trump lawyer. I'm sure a lot of your listeners might have known him from the Borat movie. He was the guy lying down at the bed at the very end. In fact, you know, Borat had to come in and he was worried about the safety of his actress. So he was a key player in the attempt to overthrow the election. He held that infamous press conference. We spoke about that, his hair dye dripping down his face in a car park in front of the sex shop. You know, he's just a bit of a chaotic character. But basically, he was in a like a shop, right, a local spa in Staten Island last night. And he was slapped. So he was there campaigning for his son Andrew's seeking the Republican nomination here for the New York governor. But basically, a store employee, a guy who worked in the store, he was angry over the Friday decision. And he came up and slapped him, and he was swearing at him, "You're an effing scumbag." He moved away. Rudy Giuliani was saying, you know, that he was lucky he was in such great shape, that he's 78, and that, you know, he's lucky that he's just so fit and healthy, he would have been on the ground. But, you know, it just got a lot of traction online because, you know, I mean, he's just fresh off his performance as a mass singer. You know, he used to be this really highly respected mayor. He did a lot of, he achieved a lot in terms of crime and that here, and now kind of been this figure of derision.
And now he'll be forever remembered as the lad who got slapped in a shop, right? That'll be his legacy now. Rebecca, thank you so much for bringing us those stories and telling us what's happening in America. And I'll chat to you next week, hopefully.
Yeah, my pleasure. Have a good one.
Bye, love. There we go. That is Rebecca O'Neill, our US correspondent in New York, telling us everything that's happening stateside. It is worrying.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.